Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live. I'm your host, the Horror Fatale, bringing you this week's horror news, reviews, recaps, and information. As always, I ask you to like and subscribe and give us a review at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever you're listening to the cast on.
Guess what, bitch? Coronavirus! Coronavirus! Shit is real! Shit is getting real! Shit is real!
I know y'all are probably really sick of that MP3, but it's hilarious to me for some reason. It just makes me laugh, and we need that. As that designates, that is the start of the horror community news, for which there is very little because of the coronavirus. Miss Rona has killed everything, and that was a bad choice of words, but literally she has put a screeching halt on the film industry. TV and film both are at halt, productions for everything. So I have a list, and I'm going to keep it short just to give you an idea of everything that's been put to bed for now. Production is closed. Let's see. On the network side, Nancy Drew from the CW has halted production, as has Supernatural. I gave you a little bit of information about that, about the season being pushed back to a later date, but they've also halted production completely. The CW has shut that down. Let's see. I have a whole list. It's very sad. For cable, Fear the Walking Dead from AMC has halted production. As you know, The Walking Dead has an abbreviated season, a mid-season finale that just aired. I don't know how many people are actually still watching The Walking Dead. I feel like I'm the only person that hasn't gone back to it. I know everybody else went back to it, but I haven't. Rick left, I left, pretty much. As far as the streaming services, for our purposes, I'll just name a few. Lucifer from Netflix has halted production. As has Servant from Apple TV, C from Apple TV, Stranger Things from Netflix, and The Witcher from Netflix. Let's see. That's it. I think for our purposes, those are pretty much the big team. There's a lot of Marvel stuff and other things, Riverdale and all that good stuff also has halted production until further notice. So it's getting sad, man. It's very sad. But we need to do what we need to do to keep everybody safe and healthy. So you have to do some other things. Shudder had a very good breakout hit with the Shut Inside. That's their little tagline or whatever. Their original movie, The Room, is a runaway hit. It debuted on March the 12th, and it claimed pretty much the top spot of the most watched Shudder original film of the year. Actually, it's the most watched premiere in the history of Shudder. So, well done. I haven't watched The Room yet. It's on my list. But it's a film, and it tells the story of a couple that they move into an old house in the country to discover that it contains a room that grants wishes. But like all things, the wishes come at a price. So it's up my alley. It's stuff I like. I love a gin kind of story. And so this sounds like a room gone rogue that's kind of a gin. So that'll be really cool to watch. I'm going to check it out. I have so much stuff that I on my plate to watch. So but that's on there. And like I always tell you guys, I was telling you this before all of this happened, the streaming services are the way to go. And Shudder is definitely one that, like I keep telling people, get the trial, test it out, see if you like it. And if you will, I promise you will, because they have some really, really good shows. And Creepshow is going to come back eventually. Can't come back now because, again, no production for a lot of things. But I have some cool stuff for you right here. New members can enjoy 30 days free at Shudder with the promo code SHUTIN, right? SHUTIN. I'm sorry. I'm very absent-minded right now. But promo code SHUTIN for Shudder and you get 30 days free. That's a good deal. That gives you a time to watch some really good programming that they have for the month of April. They have cursed films coming up, which we talked about last podcast, and I'm going to touch on just a little bit today. I can't recommend that more. And you can see The Room on there now, along with one of my favorite horror movies that's currently playing, In the Mouth of Madness. John Carpenter, good shit. But I'm going to play the trailer at the end of the cast for you for The Room so you can listen to it and get an idea, a better idea of what that actually entails. That's it, unfortunately, for horror news.
Here in Spring Valley, there's people obsessed with
perfection.
You know the story about the chick who created it, right?
She was wearing a hookah mask.
Murder. Murdered her husband.
Then lit herself on fire.
Really?
Yep. Fucked up, huh?
The unveiling's next week. The new puka design. So get started on my speech ASAP.
What if we made our own challenge you can do to summon puka?
You should post it.
Puka see, puka.
The puka challenge is the biggest internet sensation of all time.
The internet literally created a monster. It's taken on a life of its own.
That was the trailer for Puka Lives, which is this week's Horror Fatale movie review. As you might already know, Puka was a side character from Hulu's originals Into the Dark. And last season, they had a whole episode. I'm trying to remember. The Puka episode last season was the... What holiday was Puka? Was it Christmas? It might have been Christmas. I think it was Christmas. I'm drawing a blank. Yeah, it was the first season. It was episode 3, which was the Christmas episode. Wow, was that all the way December? Well, it's saying it was December 7th, 2018. So actually, that makes it 2 Christmases ago. That's correct, because they had the really, really cool Christmas episode this year. This one was back in the first season, the beginning of it, and it was episode 3. And Puka, as you know, is a very homicidal toy. He is a furry teddy bear gone horribly wrong. So for an unannounced holiday, I'm not real sure because it's not April Fool's. I guess, you know, I think a lot of the PR and publicity got sideswiped because, you know, Corona got in the way, and so they haven't really released the press release. So I'm not real sure what Puka Lives, which holiday it's supposed to be, because it's way after April Fool's Day, and it really would have been, especially this year, to release anything, because it's like poor taste right now because the world's falling apart. So it comes out April 3rd, and the episode's called Puka Lives, and just like the title says, it brings back the Puka doll. Not real sure. Maybe the first day of spring, the beginning of spring, perhaps? I don't know. I don't know what holiday this puka is celebrating. But let me tell you, it is like hella cool this episode because like I said, this season has been really, really good. They have pulled out like all the stops as far as the episodes have gotten better. The production has come up. The writing has come up. I've liked pretty much every episode this season. And this is not an exception. I thought the St. Patrick's episode, which is Crawlers, which is currently airing now, and you can read my review at horrorfatale.com. I haven't written this one yet because this is actually, what is it, Wednesday? So it's actually 2 days before you guys will get to see it live. So I will have, hopefully, if I don't get really lazy, I will have a review up on horrorfatale.com on Friday, April 3rd, when the episode airs. You know I do better in writing. I just do. But they're going to have Blumhouse is hosting a hashtag Puka Party live watch along with Puka. And if you don't like swearing, don't follow along because Puka, he is a bit foul mouth on his Twitter feed. But it, not only that, it's going to have the episode star, Felicia Day, Malcolm Barrett, Jonah Ray, and the filmmakers. They're all going to be tweeting live Friday, April 3rd at Hulu, and they're going to press play at 5:30 Pacific time. So mark your calendars. I retweeted that. If you follow me on the socials, you'll see the lovely graphic that goes along with that, and I will be posting that on my other socials, not only Twitter, but the Insta, and I'll probably even post something to Facebook. People still Facebook? Anyway, and there'll be a bit of a reminder and another post on the website. So let's kind of just get into it. Like I said, it's Puka Lives, and it brings back the very, very homicidal teddy bear gone rogue Puka. The thing about this, they've upped the game. Like I said, they have some pretty, you know, our nerd culture, our horror culture, those kind of people. They have some heavy hitters in this episode. Malcolm Barrett, if you don't know who that is, you should. I like pretty much everything he's been in. He was in Preacher. He was in Dear White People. He was in Timeless, which I just don't know why that show did not catch on. It really should. He's in the Boys. Let's see. I think those are the big things. He was in Truth Be Told, which was a TV series, Nerd Court, that kind of thing. But if you look him up, you'll automatically recognize him. When you watch the show, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. From Timeless, he played Rufus on Timeless, by the way. Also in the episode is the very cool Felicia Day. Woot woot, she's from Bama. Like me, she's an Alabama girl. She's from Huntsville, so that automatically made me a fan of hers. But you know, Felicia Day from the Guild, remember the Guild from back in the day? LARPs, she's the producer on LARPs. There's like a lot to go through with Felicia Day. You really probably should know who she is, but let's see. I'm just gonna try to give you some stuff. She was Charlie, remember, on Supernatural for a couple of seasons. Again, The Guild is her big thing. She was in Robot Chicken. Just a nerd girl, man. She's just she's just one of our people that we love. Again, you know, I'm very biased, Bama girl. She plays Molly in this as well. Let's see. I don't want to leave anybody out. The four big ones. Lindy Greenwood. Okay? You guys know who Lindy Greenwood is, right? You should. if you watch Sleepy Hollow, she was Jenny Mills on Sleepy Hollow, and she tried to keep that show going after they got rid of Abby, which was still crazy and it still doesn't make any sense. Let's see. She was in the TV show Nikita. I think that's where she came from. And I know she was in Degrassi because I think she's Canadian. Yeah, I was right. She is in Puka Lives as well. It's a good character. And Jonah Ray. Now, he's a little bit of a... you gotta, I guess, probably be a true nerd to realize who he is. I did. Again, I am a true nerd. He did Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Return. He was on there, a TV show called Better Things. I only seen a couple of episodes of that. He was in Victor Crowley, which is a horror movie, as you already know. Fantasy Hospital, I didn't watch that. He was also on a Shudder show called Dead Wax. He played a radio caller. So they got some heavy hitters with this as far as the cast goes. They're all nerdy together. And dare I say, this is probably one of the rare episodes that they've done that I was pulling for all four of the leads to make it through. That rarely happens. But they make this motley crew of like this makeshift Scooby gang, which... they've done a lot this season with the Scooby Gang thing, but I like it because this particular Scooby Gang, they're all in our age group. They're our age. They're not they're about to be 40 or 40 and they're old, and except for Malcolm Barrett. I think Malcolm Barrett is like really young. I think Felicia Day is probably, and Lindy are probably the older two in the group. But for the most part, it just kind of was pretty cool because They're this settled group of people. Like Felicia Day and Jonah Ray play a married couple and they have a child and they're going off to fight, you know, the big bad while they have a babysitter. That kind of thing. Very cool. But I gotta really tell you guys, the director of this episode, and I'm gonna mess it up because my Spanish is horrible, but Alejandro Borghese directed this. And if you don't know who he is, I would recommend that you look up two things that he was the writer on. One is One of the Dead and the other was ABC's of Death 2. I really, really, really think if you haven't seen One of the Dead, you should check it out. It's Shaun of the Dead in Cuba. And the reason why it was so cool is because Sean was kind of didn't rise to the occasion unless he had to. One is kind of the same way, but his circumstances are a little bit more dire than Sean's were. But he and his Lorazo, I think it's, I can't pronounce it, I'm sorry, my Spanish is really bad. For me to live in Los Angeles, my Spanish is horrible. Anyway, they were really good. It's a really, really good movie, and if you can find that, you should watch it. But he was the writer and director of One of the Dead, and he directs this episode of Puka Lives of Into the Dark. The writer, I don't know as much about the writer, Ryan Couple, but I do like the story that he tells, and I'm going to get to that in a second. I just wanted to get all the major points out of the way. Ryan Couple, he apparently, let's see what else he's written. I hate to say it, I hate to admit it, I'm not familiar with his work, but it looks like he wrote two shorts and a TV miniseries called Reese. Let's see, and Death Do Us Part. I like the sound of that. Now that sounds like some shit I'm interested in. yeah, it's a horror thriller called, it came out in 2014, called Death Do Us Part. Yeah, that's my alley. Yeah. Oh, there's a bride and a groom holding the broom, both of them are holding, it's a picture from behind, and both of them are holding weapons. The dude, the bride has a nice kitchen knife, and the groom has an axe. I like the sound of that. I gotta look that up. That's watching. That's some watching for me. Oh yeah, man. And it has is that Julia Benson? Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Good. Some death. That'll be great. Let's get to Pooka Lives. I gotta admit, I wasn't, my skirt, as they say, wasn't as blown up by the original Pooka last season. I found it really weird, and not in a good way. I did like the Pooka character, and I thought that they could do more with him, and obviously they could, because they did. He is sort of mythical in this. Oh, also, a very cool little part, a smaller part, a cameo, dare I say, by Will Wheaton. Hi, Will. We see you. Hadn't seen Will Wheaton in a long time, so it was good to see him in this or whatever. So that's what I'm saying. They pulled out the big guns, guys, for this. But the episode centers around these four people, and Malcolm Barrett plays a character. He's a writer. We don't get the whole backstory, but he's kind of a big deal. He was kind of a big deal in New York City. And he just basically wrote a book that the influencers didn't like, and he got canceled. Literally, like, I mean, ended his career, and he comes running back from New York. I see the comment. They always do little commentaries about different, you know, pop culture and real life things in these episodes, which is also really cool. This is probably the reason why I always recommend this show to you if you're paying attention to pop culture like I am. I'm a fool for this kind of stuff or whatever, but they always have social commentary that's very realistic. And like I said, influencers like canceled this man. So it's kind of a little swipe at cancel culture, which we kind of need, because one person can tweet something out about you and fuck your shit up. And that's exactly what happens to Malcolm Barrett's character in this. And so he comes running home or whatever, and the whole thing's kind of him and his friends sitting around, and he comes up with a plan. You know, I think he just intended for it to just go viral, right? And the plan is to make Pooka, to have people doing dumb shit on the internet, you know, with Pooka or whatever. And I'm not going to spoil you on the whole ritual and whatever, but just like shit happens, it went viral and everybody was doing the shit. Everybody was doing the Pooka challenge, and they probably shouldn't have. Because if we remember, Pooka is fucked up, and he doesn't, he's not your friendly, he's not gonna come, you know, from the great beyond to give you a hug. He's coming to fuck your shit up, and that's exactly what he did throughout this episode. I mean, just madness and mayhem. It was very cool that we got a little bit of, not even just, it's not really even supernatural, and as that is just the power of suggestion. You'll see. Again, I don't want to spoil you on it, but how strong is the power of suggestion? Can it fuck your life up? Can it create something that didn't exist and make it real? Yeah, okay. I like it. I like the idea of that. It's really, like I said, it's really well written. The narrative moves. It's 1 hour and 20 minutes. You will not hate any of the characters. And well, there are characters, I shouldn't say that. There are characters that are in it that are designed for you to like cheer and hope that Pooka gets in their asses. You know those characters. There are always those. But the main four you will cheer for, and you will want them to make it all the way through. There was one guy on there, he plays Ben. Look for that, those scenes, because he really is gorgeous. He's really a good looking, the pen agrees. He's a good looking guy, and they make continuous references to him being gorgeous or whatever. It's really funny. It's real well done. So this episode has something for everybody. It has Foul Mouth Pooka, which, as you can tell, I love a foul mouth. have one myself. It has four lead characters that are very well defined. You won't hate any of them. You'll be pulling for all of them. You want them to rally. The story's pretty, I mean, for what it is, man, come on, it's a homicidal talking doll. So, you know, no. Well, Chucky. Chucky may actually live. So the story's really good. There is blood. There's a body count. And again, they upped the production value this time. So it's not the best kills, but they're pretty good. They're pretty much practical, for as practical as you can be with a, you know, talking stuffed animal killing things. Let's see, what else should I tell you? It's very Scooby-Doo gang-ish, which again I adore. It has that perfect, all of these episodes, mostly all of them have a little comedic undertone to it. Let's not take this too seriously. Again, how could you? It's a giant killer teddy bear. And again, it has those swipes at the silliness that is the internet for the most part. You know, I love the internet. I don't think anybody can live without it at this point. But it does tend to get ridiculous. Let's see. What else should I tell you? I always try to dance around the highlights of things because I want you to watch it and I don't want to spoil you. I think that's all. We've gone really, really long in this. I'm just jabbering off. That's it. So, Pooka Lives airs on Friday, April 3rd on Hulu. Again, hello. If you don't have Hulu, get the preview. Watch it. But I'll have a little bit more of a fleshed out and a better, because I'm better at writing, review on Friday on horrorfatale.com.
Tales from the Crypt.
I really just cannot help myself. I had to use that again. As you know, because I live in California and our state is shut down, I have to stay in the house unless I'm going to for essential things. But for the most part, I get to walk my dog and come back in my house. So, because everything is COVID, even my day job, I work in health and safety. Yeah, that's what I do. I work for a health and safety medic. So I have to COVID. So what I decided to do for my own mental health, and I suggest you do the same, I try to devote at least if an hour, sometimes more. I found myself doing 2 hours during the week, which is has been very helpful, but especially on the weekends. You need this for your mental health. I cannot recommend it more. So as I'm trying to cope with, you know, the world falling apart, with the exception of my puppy. I have a puppy named Miss Cassie. You can follow her on Insta at Miss Cassie. Miss Cassio. But anyway, besides her, and you know, you have to FaceTime if you have the ability to FaceTime, and there's that Zoom. Do something, you know, try to make contact with outside life as much as you can and not be COVID. But wash your hands, disinfect your mail, your packages, make sure you wipe down everything with, you know, sanitizer. Just be safe, but don't lose your mind. So for my mental health, I found myself, what helps is, like I said, to vote an hour and a half, 2 hours, an hour, whatever you can to not just be pandemic. And what I've noticed, you need mindless shit. You need mindless shit where you don't have to think about it. So for me, and for probably you too, horror movies are probably a good way to go. Because, you know, though they can be deep and meaningful, just like everything, every genre. But I found myself wanting to watch some nostalgic stuff. God, I'm getting tired, guys. Anyway, so I've decided to rewatch the seasons of Tales from the Crypt. I had a friend of mine to ask me, where can I watch this? Well, I'm not going to call your name. You can watch this at Amazon Prime. You can get, I think, a whole season for $6.99. Now, I have it on DVD because, you know, I bought it on DVD years ago. But anyway, but that's a way you can do it. And right now, I'm sure people are selling shit on eBay because, you know, times are tough or whatever. So you might even be able to find the whole fucking box set on eBay. But if not, again, you can stream them from Amazon Prime account for, like I said, like $6.99 for like a whole season. So since all this has been going on, California's been locked down for like 14 days now. I think this is our day 14th or 15th or some shit. I've lost track. But so I'm on season 3 now. I'm almost finished, actually. I'm up to episode 8. And the season is just like everything got better. Sometimes, you know, with series, when they go on for a long time, they get worse. But Tales from the Crypt hasn't. It actually kind of upped the ante as well. And you can see, it definitely, like with all things, you know, big celebrities usually sit shit out before they commit to doing it. And once it looks like it's good, and I think the Crypt, I was paying attention when I was young, but I wasn't really paying attention because you're in the moment. But the Crypt Keeper, he became like a star, like on his own. I remember I do have his Christmas album. I'm a fucking cornball, y'all. He had a Christmas album, and I do have it somewhere or whatever on CD. But he was like on the talk shows and shit. He had like TV, and he became like a big fucking deal. Anyway, so this is the third season, so they have bigger stars that have come into play. I just watched an episode with Terry Garr, who was a big deal back in the day. I googled her. She's been sick and whatever, so that's why she disappeared. But Terry Garr was a big fucking star back in the day. Whoopi Goldberg is in the episode that I just watched. Shit, I should have fucking looked up the goddamn name before I started talking to you guys, but y'all know how I do. I don't do that shit. But she was on this episode that I just watched, and it was really, really cool because not only was it Whoopi, Vanity, and I know some of you younger people like, who the fuck is Vanity? Vanity was the business man when we were growing up. She was a big star, and people wanted to be Vanity. She was Vanity from Vanity 6, and she was a lovely woman. Some bad shit happened to Vanity. She's in an episode, and like I said, these were like really big stars, and for them to be in Tales from the Crypt, it tells you how that third season the show became a big deal. Let's see, I want to see, because I think they're, oh, Michael J. Fox, who also at the time was a huge, I mean, it depends on how old you are, he's still a pretty big deal depending on how old you are. But Michael J. Fox directed one of the episodes. I think the one I'm talking about, actually. Yeah, he did, The Trap with Terry Garr. He was the director of it. And the late Bruno Kirby, rest in peace, also a big star at the time, was in it. Let's see, who else? Andrew McCarthy, you may not know who he is. Meryl Hemingway, who's Ernest's granddaughter, but she was a pretty big star in her own right. Abracadabra is the episode that, I mean, literally is one of the best ones. It's about death, you know, about cadavers and what happens when you die. That's always trippy or whatever, but it stars Tony Goodwin, who's Fitz, and he's the bad guy in Ghosts, and it had Beau Bridges Bubble juice was a big deal at this point in the 90s. Top billing, a really good one. Bruce Boxleitner, I think is his name. Yeah, that's his name. He was pretty good. John Astin, who's, you know, legendary John Astin. He is Gomez Adams, you know, snap your fingers for him. It was back in the day, so I mean, I think John Astin is probably about 100 years old, or damn near close. But he's a really good, he's a big deal. John Lovitz, the comedian, is in that episode with Louise Fletcher. I don't know if you guys know her. Again, depends on how old you are. She was Nurse Ratched from one of my favorite films, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. She's in it for a brief minute, but she's still in it nonetheless. And Sandra Bernhardt also was a big deal in the day. So my point is, because I had one. And The Reluctant Vampire, which is the episode that I'm going to watch tonight, actually had Malcolm McDowell in it. Need I say more? You guys know who the fuck that is, right? I don't have to tell you who freaking Malcolm McDowell is. Okay, I will. Halloween, A Clockwork Orange, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, but I'm really just, it's just really cool. These shows were good for a reason, and they were really well done, and you find yourself at the end, everybody gets their comeuppance. And so I would suggest that you guys watch that or something, just for your mental health. But if you follow me on the socials, I'm posting the highlights, and I managed to find most of the cool covers from the actual comic, well, the comic books that went with the episodes from back in the day. I found most of them, which has been really cool. Some of them are a little harder to track down, but I'm finding them, I should say. What's the guy? I can't remember the name of the guy that did the original comics. What's his name? EC somebody. Okay, EC Comics. That's who originally made the actual comic books. Okay, so that's that. So again, we're going to end this because my brain is starting to relax because I'm sleepy now. I want to ask you guys to follow me on the socials at The Horror Fatale on Instagram and at Twitter at Horror Fatale. Until next time, you guys, wash your hands and have some happy nightmares.
Sweet home.
I'm guessing you're not from these parts.
We just moved down from New York. No peeking.
Let's give it another try. There's no reason we can't have children.
We already tried twice. Both babies died.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
Nobody told you? The previous owners. They got killed in this house.
House of Blood.
God, I need another bottle.
Honey, a real Van Gogh.
Yeah, sure.
Where did you get all this stuff?
The room makes things. What do you need most in the world?
I want $1 million.
How does it work?
Who cares how it works? You just use it.
The only thing more dangerous than a person who can't get what they want is a person who gets whatever they want.
Get out of the house before it's too late.
Where's the necklace you asked for?
I can always get another. And another. And another.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I took a shortcut.
You used the room to make a baby.
A baby is not a thing.
Yes, it is. One, two, three. You never take that stuff outdoors. I'm not doing this.
Feel free to leave.
Anytime you want.
I want to be with you forever.
Are you afraid of him?
Of course I am.
You're not a real person.
Man wants to be free. But first, the creator must die.
You said we'd be together forever.
Mr. Room, come with me.
It's me.
Ah!